Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Get started on your painting project this summer and save big money at Menards. Rust-Oleum Stops Rust 5-in-1 Spray Paint lets you choose from 5 unique spray patterns with a twist of the dial, so you can get a professional, corrosion-resistant finish on every project. Save big money on Rust-Oleum Spray Paint now at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
We are live right here on Football Full Circle. That is FFC, all a part of the Sports Grid Radio Network and Sirius XM channel 159. He is the mastermind of the pigskin. That is Joe Lisi. I am Ben Stevens. As we have said and as we detailed for you yesterday, it's really summer break in the realm of football. National Football League teams have a few weeks off until they get ready to return to training camp in the later portion of July, about 3-4 weeks from right now. Some of the college kids starting to make their way back to campus, but summer workouts do not really start until 2 to 3 weeks after media days. And then we get into fall camp, getting ready for the 2025 college football campaign. So there's not all that many news, not all that much headlines to bring to you here on Football Full Circle. So what is our charge, mastermind? We're going to talk a little college football these next few days, go conference by conference, highlight some win totals and some teams we think will be successful entering the 2025 campaign. And of course, what that means for a conference championship race and ultimately the college football playoff. We'll start at the Power Four. We'll hit on some group of five teams and programs as well. We'll probably do that over these next few days here on FFC, if that's all right by you, Lisi guy.
Yeah, it's finally here, thankfully. Having to talk basketball and baseball and hockey, and now the long off season of college and NFL was on the horizon. But here we go. We're about 2 months away. College football starts in August. We have NFL action July. This is what it's all about. And jumping on the win totals, you and I have been pretty good in terms of the offseason totals over the past couple of seasons, trying to find value. The college numbers, as it relates to the book, let me tell you, they're as sharp as anybody. They have it right down to the half, right? So that half really matters on some of these teams. Hopefully we could pick some plus money on either unders or overs throughout the regular season.
A lot of juice perhaps on either side to the over, expecting more wins, under to stay under those numbers. Those don't update as much as they might in the National Football League, but when you look at a schedule, when you look at strength of schedule, opponents on the docket, returning production, all of the additions in the transfer portal, you can start to get a clear picture here as the summer unfolds and early on. Lisi guy, if there is any news, we will bring that to you. We had a couple more comments from Thomas Castellanos today to On Three. I'm not sure we need to really break those down, but we do start in the ACC. And Joe, we start by looking at the conference championship odds for this league. Even despite some non-successful years by Clemson, South Carolina standards, the Tigers have still won the ACC championship 8 of the previous 10 college football seasons. 8 conference crowns in the last decade for Dabo Sweeney and his Tigers. The big difference, though, has been the lack of college football playoff success. They earned that final spot in the college football playoff with the automatic bid as a conference champ. Gave Texas a game in Austin, perhaps, but ultimately did lose by 2 touchdowns. That's the difference, Joe, for a Clemson team that is still regularly won the ACC, even in these 4 years that they have not necessarily been at their absolute peak. but they have not been that true national championship contender. I think things might be different in 2025. Clemson is the short favorite to win the ACC title at plus 120, $2.50 in front of Miami. The Canes at plus 370. Louisville, fourth best number, plus 750. And how about the team that Clemson pulled the upset against in Charlotte in the ACC championship game a season ago? That would be Rhett Lashley and SMU at a plus 850 price, fourth shortest number on the Stangs. Joe, as you look up and down the ACC, starting at the very top for Clemson, what does success look like this year for Dabo Swinney and his Tigers?
Well, it has to be getting back to the college football playoff. You're talking about a team in terms of Clemson that had dominated the conference for potentially 8 years, up until basically 2023. They had only lost about, you know, seven conference games, only one a year. And then, you know, they had the year where they lost three conference games and they were 4-4 overall at the end of the regular season. That was a knock. And then they get back to the ACC championship game last year. And, you know, in dynamic fashion, they knock off SMU and crack the college football playoff. That is the expectation now for Cade Klubnik and Dabo Swinney. He started to take in transfer talent. The biggest thing, too, I think when you say is Clemson mortal, is that they started to lose home games as well. Yeah. During an eight-year span, they had only lost three home games from like 2015 to 2023. They lost two home games last year, right? The blowout loss to Louisville, 33-21, where they gave up well over 200 yards on the ground. And then they lose to Lenora Sellers, their arch rival, South Carolina. That could have kept them out of the college football playoff. So, you know, they are mortal at home. And when you look at this team as big picture, it's like, okay, yeah, ACC, they're deserving of being there plus 120, but they should be challenging the likes of obviously Ohio State, you know, all the best teams, Alabama, you name it, Texas. They have to be in that conversation. Otherwise, Dabo Swinney's regressing from where he led two national championships in Death Valley for an eight-year period.
It's a great point, Joe. And again, success is a relative standard, right? Success for some programs might be getting to bowl eligibility. Others would take the successful run of eight conference titles in 10 years. I think 99.9% of FBS college football programs would stack up for that. But when you have reached the mountaintop, when you have gotten to the pinnacle of the sport, as Dabo Swinney and Clemson did twice in a three-year span in 2016 and 2018, winning national championships, and when Dabo Swinney was compared to the guy that he idolized in Nick Saban as the best program in college football, that's when the standard of success starts to change. And that's been the difference for the Tigers the last 4 years. Joe, they won six consecutive ACC crowns from 2015 to 2020, each of those six seasons, reaching the college football playoff as well. They were a college football playoff team last year, taking that final automatic bid as the fifth highest ranked conference champ in the four-team era. That would have not been the case back in 2022 when they won the ACC for a seventh time in nine seasons or eight seasons at that moment. They did not reach the college football playoff, but did factor into the new year six bowl rotation. They have not, though, gone to the quarterfinals, semifinals, of course, in the 12-team era, and have not played in a national championship game since 2018. That is the difference for this Clemson team. We'll start with the ACC right here, right now. Joe, I've already bet the Clemson Tigers at a plus 135 price, 15 cents better than where it is now, still the favorite a couple of weeks ago to win the ACC. I think this Clemson team is going to at least be in the college football playoff semifinals. I think there's a really good chance, Joe, that this Clemson team reaches a national championship game. They have the most returning production in all of the sport, 80%, 85 back on the offensive side of the football. And of course, that starts with Cade Klubnik, now in year number three under OC Garrett Riley. He's got all of his trio of wide receivers. That's been an issue for Clemson in years past. Not a lot of talent on the outside. This year, they certainly have it. They've got a lot of returning offensive linemen up front. But the issue last year, Joe, for the first time in a while, was not the Tigers' scoring production. It was their defense. Well, welcome in Tom Allen, new defensive coordinator there in Clemson, and welcome back so much returning talent, including maybe the most dynamic duo up front, not just in the ACC, but potentially the country, and TJ Parker, the edge rusher, and Peter Woods, the big interior D lineman, to anchor this Clemson side that should be much improved and frankly has to be defensively in 2025.
Yeah, when you think about how dominant they were on the defensive side of the ball for those 8 years, let's just say, with Brett Venables and Dabo Sweeney, the biggest thing is they didn't give up a ton of yards on the ground. They rarely gave up 100 yards to opposing offenses. And third down defense was one of the best in the country. Go to last year, 43% they allowed opposing offenses to convert, and they got ripped on the ground, especially by Louisville. That cannot happen in 2025. If they're going to make the playoff.
When you look at what they gave up, Joe, defending the run, 160 yards per game, that does take into the college football playoff loss against Texas when they got absolutely torched on the ground.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
We continue breaking down the ACC live right here on Football Full Circle. Plus 120 is the price on the Clemson Tigers as the favorite to win the ACC title. I have already bet it. I believe this Clemson team will be playing at least into the Final Four. That's a college football playoff semifinal. And heck, maybe even playing in that national championship game. Lisi, would you bet the Tigers to win the ACC at the plus 120 number? Or would you look elsewhere around the conference for another conference championship contender?
Yeah, I mean, as long as it's plus money, it's worth the shot, right? And what I mean by worth the shot, I mean they are the most dominant team heading into the 2025 campaign. That's no doubt. They have Cade Klubnik, a dark horse to potentially win a Heisman. I think too, you know, Klubnik not known for his legs, right? Or not given enough credit. He had 7 rushing touchdowns, second on the team behind Phil Maffa. So they can run it, they can throw it, right? And a plus 120, not bad. I like to look for deeper shots just to see potentially if you could get like an SMU or a dark horse that's double digits to make it to the championship game. At the most part, you could at least hedge. But for me, I would still take a shot on Louisville. I think Jeff Brohm is that much and that good of a coach to coach that team up. We saw what they were able to do last year. You know, they had high highs and low lows, but they still challenged some of the better teams, including Clemson. They went toe-to-toe with Miami in their house. I like them plus 750. Yeah. They have 6 starters coming back from a defensive perspective. I think they have value, and I told you that last time. The 2 other teams that I would potentially bet, I like Va Tech with the number. I like drones. Yeah. I like the 48-1. Let's not forget this team last year potentially was looked at as that team. They underachieved, got off to a slow start. Now you're going to give me almost 50-1. I'll take a shot on the Hokies at 48-1 overall.
Yeah, I do see that price, Lisi guy, for Va Tech. How about my Syracuse Orange? Won 10 games in Fran Brown's debut year. Not a lot of returning talent for the Orange this season. That's the biggest issue for SU. Fran Brown can recruit. He has hit the transfer portal like crazy, but a lot of changing parts, of course, in Central New York. Only 46% of the production from a season ago back for Syracuse, just 32% on that offensive side of the football. Of course, that includes the ACC record setter in Kyle McCord. Aronde Gadsden is also in the National Football League, and Trevor Pena is now playing for Penn State. We'll see what Syracuse can pull off. They are a 60-1 price. Lisa Guy, we talked about a few win totals within this conference as well. I bet Georgia Tech over 7.5. I love what the Yellow Jackets bring back this season. I don't think their schedule is overly difficult to get to 8-4. And if you have the Haynes backfield of Haynes King at QB and Jamal Haynes at running back, all back with some great defensive talent for an improved defense for the Bees last year, you're going to have some success. I think this Georgia Tech team, Joe, is at least an 8-win football team, if not a 9-win football team in 2025. And if that is the case, the 13-1 price on the Jackets, fifth best around the ACC behind Miami, Louisville, and SMU, all trailing Clemson, there's a good chance that Tech could be battling for a spot in that ACC title game.
We talked about it. The two biggest things, and when you look at Georgia Tech, is right. Obviously, Haynes King coming back, one of the most athletic quarterbacks in all of college football. The interior line, they can run the football very effectively, average well over 4 yards per carry as a team. And on the defensive side of the ball, only gave up around 122 rushing yards per game, almost 100 yards less than what they did back in 2023. So that is a significant upgrade, but not just that. Let's look at the body of work, and let's look at the way they played against the better teams on their schedule. They hand Miami one of their two losses in the regular season, right? They go toe-to-toe with a college football playoff contender and the third best price on FanDuel right now in the Georgia Bulldogs. Georgia was on life support in Athens in 8 overtimes to just knock them off and win that game by 2. You get that type of effort over a 12-game season. This team potentially could be a 9 or a 10-win football team, and you can't make the argument that if they're there at 10-2 overall and have a quality top 10 victory, let's just say, they can make the college football playoff.
Yeah, they certainly could, Joe. And that's a case for these teams within the ACC. We looked around the conference, of course, in a college football playoff picture a season ago, right? And we had 3 leagues that got multiple bids. The Big Ten had 4, the SEC had 3, and the ACC had multiple. SMU being the final at-large team who reached that ACC title game, and the team that pulled off the upset, of course, with the automatic berth being Clemson. A lot to pay attention to here in the ACC. Of course, Joe, Miami's going to have a lot of notoriety. Carson Beck, the Georgia transfer, is now the quarterback in Coral Gables down there in South Beach. They have the second best price to win the ACC at plus 370. How do you examine the Hurricanes entering 2025?
Major questions. And again, you had Cam Ward, the best quarterback in the nation. You look like you were going to the college football playoff. You lose to Syracuse, you lose to Georgia Tech. Now, granted, both of those teams were good, but if you're Miami and you're Mario Cristobal, you're supposed to win those games, especially when you got by Virginia Tech on a last-second Hail Mary, and oh, by the way, beat Cal barely as a double-digit favorite on the road in Berkeley. So if you take one or two of those games into account and say they should have lost either Va Tech or Cal, they have 3 or 4 losses potentially on the regular season now. And that cannot happen if you're Mario Cristobal. It's the same old Miami team. Until this team steps up from a defensive perspective and they dominate and they become physical the way Georgia Tech is potentially, I can't buy into them as a contender. And now expecting Carson Beck to be like Cam Ward and pull games out every week, just not going to happen. So again, we saw Carson Beck play down to competition last year. He didn't have a great season. So that is a cause of concern. They're not dominant in terms of the secondary. They're not dominant in the front 7. And there's much better defenses in the conference like Clemson and, more importantly, like Georgia Tech that could compete for a title. So I'm selling Miami again.
Yeah, I would agree, Joe. I would say an 8-4 football team, a 9-3 football team perhaps, but probably not contending for an ACC championship spot or a college football playoff spot as we saw just a season ago. Mario Cristobal can recruit. Can he put it together on the actual football field? That's the question. Some big news out of Provo, Utah. Next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
We'll continue going conference by conference, and in fact, maybe this will work as a nice bridge and transition to the Big 12. Joe, some big news for BYU. The school as a whole in Provo has been recruiting like crazy as of late. AJ DeBonsa, of course, the number one overall recruit in the country in men's basketball, headed to Provo next season. And Joe, in football, a five-star quarterback for the first time since 2002, just the third ever five-star recruit in the history of BYU football, the first overall, whatever position, since 2003. Ryder Lyons, a five-star quarterback, second in the 2026 class, according to 24/7 Sports, out of Folsom, California, has committed to the BYU Cougars. Now, we don't talk a ton of recruiting here on this show between the NFL and college football, but Joe, the reason we bring this up, one, it just happened within the last 15 to 20 minutes. Two, it's a sign of the times in the NIL era for teams like BYU, who have a very competitive NIL collective, who have been able to have the financial backing, shall we say, to get this marquee and big-time talent. Ryder Lyons, the third highest rated prep prospect in the history of Cougs football, is headed to Provo next year.
Wow, that's incredible. Ryder, R-Y-D-E-R, right? Is that how we spell the
correct?
Ryder Lyons. I mean, sounds like he just oozes blue collar BYU football. Why is this important? Well, it's important because we know that Jake Retzlaff has an issue off the field. How does that play out in terms of, you know, whether he even plays this year? We're not sure. But this is a team last year that challenged for a Big 12 championship. They went toe-to-toe with Arizona State, lost a very close game, obviously knocked off Colorado in the bowl game. And this is a team that Kalani Sitake has built up. And if you're going to throw now money into BYU, where you always look at BYU as like that, you know, before that potential group of five that could crack, you know, the college football playoff when it was a four-teamer. Now they're in a conference, they're challenging, and they're going toe-to-toe with the big boys. You add now five-star talent like Ryder Lyons into the mix, and you're going to pay these kids. Hey, BYU could be as good as anybody in the nation. We know that they get good talent. Obviously, you know, it takes a certain type of player to play and obviously be that student-athlete. But it's amazing. It's great for BYU athletics. They've been on the cusp of greatness before. We'll see if they can challenge for a Big 12 championship and, more importantly, a college football playoff this year.
An 11-win football team last year, Joe, with a victory of a crushing Colorado victory in that Alamo Bowl, trying to use the Alamo Bowl bump. Now, there have been some sexual misconduct allegations against Jake Retzlaff, who he has unequivocally denied those. Whatever legal troubles are playing out with him at the moment remain off the football field, not necessarily putting his status in question for 2025. because to have Retzloff back at the quarterback spot, of course, to have that consistency there for BYU, there is a lot of talent returning to Provo. Quickly on Ryder Lyons. Again, just the third ever five-star for BYU football out of high school. The third highest ranked prospect ever for BYU football. And again, a sign of the times of how competitive BYU has been able to be in the two major sports of football and men's hoops because of the commitment from Ryan Smith, who is the owner of the Utah Jazz, and many others that are giving their money to the coup. Good times for BYU, Joe, in Provo. There is no doubt about it. We'll see what Ryder Lyons' career ends up being, right, in 2026, if he even ends up fully making it to Provo. Things can change so rapidly in this climate. We understand that. I would also just say this. We talked a lot about the NCAA versus House settlement finally being agreed to. All of that revenue sharing starts within the next week, July 1st, 2025, if teams are going to opt in. And Joe, a lot of these NIL collectives, whether it be the transfer portal this past offseason, or now with some of these high school recruits are trying to get those deals in place up front before the Deloitte Clearinghouse comes in for any of the disciplinary actions around these big money deals.
Yeah, and obviously, you know, an auditing perspective that obviously oversees all of these deals is necessary because you can't have kids bouncing from school to school, taking the bag of cash and not being held accountable in any type for your actions. So this is a good move. We'll see the teams that do get it under the rug, per se, before this happens. But at the end of the day, it's all good in terms of the NIL perspective, and it's only going to grow.
Yeah, certainly so. We'll continue to break down conferences by focusing on BYU's league. The Big 12 up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
So as we go conference by conference this week on Football Full Circle for the 2025 college football season, we highlight some teams that we think can make some noise, have some success this upcoming season, and of course, look at those conference championship numbers. Joe, we just talked about the big news out of Provo, five-star quarterback recruit Ryder Lyons in the class of 2026 commits to BYU football, their third highest rated prospect in the history of that football program. Yesterday, we talked a little bit about the Big 12 in the conference championship odds and how jumbled and competitive we expect this league to be once again in 2025. Well, we've seen a certain reshuffling of the odds for whatever reason, just by about a half buck. But Joe, further prove how tightly contested this is going to be for a title and at the top. K-State, Utah, Arizona State. Now three co-favorites as we speak to win the Big 12 championship this year. All three of those schools at plus 600 and only a half buck behind Baylor and Texas Tech, both at plus 650. Yesterday when we had this similar conversation, it was five schools separated by only a dollar. Now it's five schools with three co-favorites all separated by just 50 cents. Yeah, the Big 12 is going to be competitively chaotic, but also competitively fun in 2025.
Yeah, and is Utah getting more of the benefit of the doubt just because, you know, they were the front runners last year? They come into the conference. Yeah. The conference realignment didn't treat them very well the way it did a couple of years ago when a bunch of other schools moved into the conference in the Big 12, UCF, Cincinnati, Houston and BYU, right? They struggled a little bit, you know, in terms of the regular season. We saw that out of Utah. Now, part of that was with Cam Rising, but they're still second, you know, right there. They haven't done anything in the conference. I know they beat Oklahoma State, but everybody beat Oklahoma State last year. You look at the other two teams that they're jumbled with. Forget K-State. We talked about them yesterday, but I keep going back to Dave Aranda and Baylor and Arizona State with Kenny Dillingham. Kenny Dillingham did it not just offensively with Cam Scatabo. Yeah. That defense was one of the best, not just in terms of the Big 12, but in terms of all of college football. They were a bend but don't break unit, forced teams to work through the 30s. Red zone defense was phenomenal. Blitz packages, the ability to pressure quarterbacks. You get that type of effort, and you're only giving up 120 rushing yards per game in the conference with Sam Leavitt, they're going to be right there again. So for me, I keep going back to it. Arizona State, Baylor at 6-1 are great value. You want to take a deep shot outside of Iowa State that we talked about yesterday? I'll give you a crazy one, and it's just because I love him as a head coach. Houston, you know, they overexceeded expectations last year with a 3.5 win total, but Willie Fritz is a great game planner and a great head coach to get that type of effort in year number one. I'm expecting a huge jump in year number two. I'm expecting Houston to be bowl eligible this year, be potentially a 7 or 8 win football team. You want to take that shot at 30-1. I don't think it's bad value.
You know, Lacy guy, I kind of agree with you, right? Houston under Willie Fritz played spoiler a few times last season, right? Not great offensively, but the Cougs certainly were able to be competitive. The win total now 5.5 for year number two under Fritz, who of course built an incredibly successful program in New Orleans at Tulane before moving on in 2024. The over has the hefty juice, by the way, to see bowl eligibility in H-Town at -205. I like the look there, Lacy guy. I really, really do. Maybe not to win the conference, but to be a thorn in the side week in, week out, I absolutely see it. Again, I think there is some value on Iowa State with the returning Rocco Becht at the quarterback spot. But Joe, I said it yesterday, I'll reiterate it here for the Sun Devils, because it's a +600 price, and yeah, they're one of the co-favorites now, but because we expect this to be a jumbled mess at times, +600 does prevent some value. I'm going with the team in Tempe. I believe in Kenny Dillingham as a head coach entering year number three. I believe with all of the returning production for ASU. It might feel a little bit monotonous in a way. It might feel a little bit surface level at this stage of where the climate is in college football to say returning production is the thing I value most. But I still believe in returning production despite the transfer portal era. And so when you have those key and significant contributors back, and in large part your production from what was a wildly successful season in 2024 returning for 2025, I'll take that base level each and every time. And I said Clemson to win the ACC, most returning production in all of college football. Who's got the second most? That would be Arizona State, led by quarterback Sam Leavitt. And Joe, you highlighted the best rushing defense in the Big 12 a season ago, giving up just a tad more than 112 yards per game. Great physicality up front. 79% of that production from last year defensively returns, second most in all of the country, only behind Kennesaw State. I love ASU this year. I think they'll be playing at bare minimum in their second consecutive Big 12 championship game. Ultimately, I believe they win that Big 12 championship. And I think Sam Leavitt is a big, big reason why.
Yeah, I mean, again, you know, you and I are on the same page on a bunch of teams, right? I think this is the one conference where you can make an argument for a lot of teams, right? It wouldn't shock us if Kansas gets back to, you know, superiority. Let's not forget this team was potentially, again, picked it to potentially win the Big 12 last year. Start out slow with Devin Neal and obviously Jalen Daniels. They had been with the injuries, right? The revolving door at quarterback. They didn't get right potentially to the end of the regular season. And when they do that, they're challenging the best teams in the conference. So 17-1 with a potential Heisman dark horse in Jalen Daniels isn't bad value. I just want to highlight one thing, though, Ben, in when you look at it. And Rich Rod, West Virginia, we believe it's potentially a little bit of a rebuild, you know, going from that scheme that they had, obviously, to Rich Rod. But Oklahoma State, you want to talk about a complete 360. Oof. You know, this team started to fall apart at the seams. I continue to say this when Jim Knowles left for Ohio State, right? You know, that defense, when they challenged Notre Dame in the play, not the playoff, but the bowl game, when they went there and they trailed by 28 points and they won that bowl game and Jim Knowles moves on, it was then Derek Mason, and all we saw was that defense fall off a cliff. They had potentially one of the best running backs in Ollie Gordon last year, and they could not win a Big 12 game. We're talking about a team that was in the Big 12 championship game a couple of times, and this team now is at the dead last next to UCF with Scott Frost at 50-1 to win the Big 12. If they don't get above 500, I'm saying it now, Mike Gundy in Stillwater, gone.
Yeah, which is crazy to say, Joe, as he's been doing it for two decades and is one of the longest tenured head coaches at the FBS level. It's Gundy, it's Kyle Whittingham at Utah, and it's Kirk Ferentz ahead of all of them entering year number 27. But the point is sound, right? It needs to be a much better year in Stillwater. So who did Gundy bring in on that defensive side? A guy with a ton of experience in college football, at times a slightly complicated past in Todd Grantham, who is now going to be that defensive coordinator there in Stillwater. But no doubt, Joe, the thing that has held back the Pokes the last few years and reared its ugly head last year was that defense. They couldn't stop anybody. Yardage, points, ground, air, didn't matter. Oklahoma State was getting gouged each and every week. And it's always one of the complicating things about returning production, right? Because Oklahoma State was one of the teams that had the most returning production entering the 2024 college football season. You had the veteran in Allen Bowman. You had the nation's leading rusher in Ollie Gordon II, who seemed primed for a Heisman-type season and completely fell off. And one of the reasons you expected OG2 to be great is because the entirety of the O-line was back as well, paving the way for all of those run-blocking lanes. It just, for whatever reason, was a disaster as they won three games. That was it. Three games for Oklahoma State a season ago. Needs to be better this year. We'll continue to talk about the depth of the Big 12 on the other side of the break. Because Joe mentioned a team in the Kansas Jayhawks that I would like to discuss on the other side of the break as we go conference by conference on Football Full Circle all week long.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle, it is FFC. Lisi Guy, we continue to break down the Big 12. And a team that you mentioned, again, when you look at this conference, you see five teams, three of which are co-favorites at 6-1. Baylor and Texas Tech, 50 cents back at plus 650. TCU plus 850, 11-win BYU at 11-1, Iowa State who played in the Big 12 championship game at 12-1, and Kansas at 17-1. So as I do my quick math here, Lisi Guy, that's nine teams at 17-1 or better. More than half of the league at less than 20-1 or better to be a conference champion. This KU team is very interesting. The Kansas of September, even late August when they started, but September, October, and into early November was a disaster because last year they had some expectations under Lance Leipold and the returning Jalen Daniels and alongside him in the backfield, the Lawrence native in Devin Neal. And they stunk. They looked terrible. They were awful despite all the expectation. And then something clicked. They got a little bit healthier in November. And they ended up pulling upset after upset to BYU, to Colorado, to basically plaguing the Big 12 in terms of the teams we thought could make a run at that conference title or, of course, a college football playoff spot. The Jayhawks were an incredible story in the final month. Now, Joe, it's can they continue that momentum from last November through a full offseason starting right away in August?
I think they can. And again, it all comes down to, you know, obviously Lance Leipold and the team game planning. But again, you saw that team at the end of the regular season. They really gelled offensively and defensively as well. They were opportunistic. They were positive in turnover margin in terms of the last four or five games of the regular season, right? They were able to run the football with Devin Neal. Jalen Daniels does come back. Obviously, he didn't live up to expectations last year. Now he can perform, hopefully, at an elite level. If he's the player that lost to Arkansas in that Liberty Bowl a couple of seasons ago where he was throwing all over the yard, this team could be lethal. Now you add in, here's the schedule. This is what I love, right? Fresno State, Wagner, they should be 2-0. Fresno State, yeah. Obviously, Mikey Keene in a new spot, right? At Missouri, that's going to be the outlier, but it's a non-conference game. West Virginia, Cincinnati, UCF at Texas Tech, K-State, Oak State, Arizona, Iowa State, and Utah. I mean, again, they have to go to Ames. That's going to be a difficult game at the end of the regular season, but you get Kansas State in your house, rivalry game, and they're on the road at Texas Tech. This team legitimately could be 10-2, Ben.
Yeah, and Lisa, yeah, just to use some of the strength of schedule metrics that we see on ESPN, sometimes I do believe they are flawed, but just in terms of what we are seeing, the three easiest schedules in the Big 12, easiest Houston, BYU second easiest, again, for an 11-win football team last year, keep an eye on the Cougs, and Arizona State, third easiest for a team that won the conference championship. KU, right there, smack dab in the middle, the hardest. Oklahoma State, TCU, and a team that, Joe, I know you looked at as well, Baylor. But keep that in mind when you're looking at the Cowboys and see their win total and see their expectation this year, despite having Mike Gundy back for, I believe, year 21 or 22. Joe, is there a win total bet that you like the best within the Big 12? Is it Baylor over the number? Is it Arizona State over 8.5? It's funny that Arizona State is a co-favorite to win the conference. The win total is 8.5, and the over has a bit of plus money at plus 104.
Yeah, I mean, I looked at a few. I mean, I do like Arizona State. That's the one coach and the one team I do buy into in terms of Kenny Dillingham. Again, I like Baylor, though. You look at their win total, it's 7.5 at plus 104. I think they could be 9. You know, Cam Richardson is one of the best underrated wide receivers in all of college football. You know, and I mean, they were an 8-win football team, put up 31 in the bowl loss to LSU. That's an SEC defense. Sawyer Robertson, I'm telling you, 28 touchdowns, 8 interceptions, and he really came on from the middle of last season to the end. You start the regular season like that. I like Baylor. I told you I like Houston, too. I like them, even though it's heavily juiced to the over at minus 5.5. The only other one in terms of the conference that I would take a legitimate shot on in terms of the win totals would be Kansas, 7.5 plus 148. That schedule I just told you, with Jalen, as long as Jalen Daniels is healthy, they're going to be there. Again, I think, obviously, Missouri, that's going to be – you have to go to Columbia. Not easy. If they somehow win that game, Ben, we could be talking about, again, a 10-win football team. You blow right through that number in October.
Yeah, it is crazy, Joe, when you look at Kansas, right? Jalen Daniels is back. Devin Neal is gone, but Daniel Hyshaw remains. He's a veteran in the backfield. They also get LeSean Williams, the transfer from Iowa, to join that backfield as well. So there's a lot to like on this team, and we know that Lance Leipold is a program builder. A lot of transfer portal talent on the defensive side of the football that needed to pick it up last season. A lot to like, Joe, around the Big 12. That's 7.5 on Baylor with a little plus money to the over. Oof. I think it's looking pretty good. Dave Aranda has built a really strong defense. I completely agree. A team we really didn't mention, Kansas State, we talked about a good amount yesterday. Iowa State, of course, in that Dublin debut. Texas Tech, Joe, best transfer portal class in the 2025 offseason. Baron Morton is back at the quarterback spot. We had highlighted how, of course, Taj Brooks is no longer there, but they should be loaded offensively and defensively. We talked about BYU in the sign of the times, right? NIU allowing them to recruit on a more even playing field, if you will. That's been the story for Tech in terms of their NIL collective getting the best and brightest in a variety of sports. We've seen it in softball. We've seen it in men's basketball. And now entering the 2025 college football season as well.
Yeah, the problem that I have with Texas Tech is not buying into the program as a whole. I love Joey McGuire. I love what they have done. And I'm not suggesting they're going to have a potential down season. But again, I think 8-4 is right where Texas Tech is, in my opinion. You lose Taj Brooks to the NFL, and you have watched that team. They are solely dependent on him. When he's out of that lineup and Morton has to win games, that's the question mark.
Yep, no doubt about it. Veteran experience, but sometimes some of that experience hasn't been great for Baron Morton by any means. Quinton Joyner, by the way, transfer from USC, tries to fill the very large shoes of Taj Brooks. I'm sorry to say it. We've got Aaron Rodgers news we got to discuss next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
In the news this week, the Have I Got News For You podcast is back for another series.
Brought to you by some of the team behind the show, we'll take you through the big stories of the week when the TV show can't.
From Kemi Badenoch to Keir Starmer, Donald Trump to Nigel Farage, we'll make sure to give every story and subject the complete lack of respect it deserves.
We also cover all the sillier stories you've missed that don't make the front page and put your news knowledge to the test with our missing words round.
Listen and subscribe to In the News This Week, the Have I Got News For You podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
So as I said right before the break, we take a small break from our conference conversations around college football because, Joe, it's a Tuesday. That means Aaron Rodgers is back on the Pat McAfee show. He basically hinted after a question that he is, quote, pretty sure this is it, end of quote, being his last season in the National Football League. He explained it is why they only signed a one-year deal between him and the Pittsburgh Steelers for 2025. So a one-year rental, that is Aaron Rodgers. It's year number 21 in the National Football League. Aaron is 41 years old. He will be 42 in early December in what is set to be, at least as of right now, because you never know with this guy, his final year of his NFL career.
Yeah, and it's the end of potentially a Hall of Fame career that, you know, maybe never lived up to expectations. One Super Bowl, right? And, you know, you think of Aaron Rodgers, you think of the potential, and you think that he could challenge Brady and Pat Mahomes, right? With multiple Super Bowl rings, just never panned out. But this is more about Aaron Rodgers right now. It's more about the Pittsburgh Steelers, in my opinion. If this is what your starting quarterback is telling you now, what does that say about your organization? So, okay, so you get a rent-a-quarterback again for a year. So it's Super Bowl or bust. If you don't get that, then what's the plan? We get another rent-a-quarterback to just, you know, fill the void? At some point, this team has to make a decision to make them or put them on the pinnacle of the AFC. They're not a middle. This isn't the New York Jets. We're talking about an organization that has won multiple Super Bowls and had a quarterback in Ben Roethlisberger that retired with two. So where are they going since that happened? This is more about Mike Tomlin and potentially Mike letting go of the rope and not having a vision of where this team is headed. And that, from an organizational standpoint and a fan base standpoint, should have you upset. Because how can't you have a plan after Aaron Rodgers? If this is it, this is not the best you could do.
I mean, we've had the same conversation around this guy basically for the last 2 to 3 years. We have had this conversation numerous times throughout this offseason when it was the worst kept secret in the NFL and the largest elephant in the room that ultimately, whenever he so decided, Aaron Rodgers was going to be in that quarterback room in the Steel City. It doesn't shock me, Joe, that he said this. I thought he was only there for a year. I thought this would be his final year in the National Football League. I don't care if he wants some grand ceremonious retirement tour or if he, you know, dangles the carrot come December that, oh, I'm feeling pretty good and might come back next year. This is it. It should be it for Aaron Rodgers. And frankly, it should be that for the Pittsburgh Steelers as well. From the perspective of Aaron Rodgers, right? 21 years in the National Football League. This is about to be year number 21. One Super Bowl title, a four-time NFL MVP winner. We'll have time to reflect on his complicated legacy at the end of his career if this is in fact that. Currently, Aaron Rodgers, mediocre above average quarterback in the NFL. Maybe top 20 in terms of the starting quarterbacks. In the pantheon of recent quarterbacks, last two, three decades, one of the best to ever do it. There is no doubt about that. Both things can live in harmony. If you are a Steelers fan, though, to Lisi's point, you probably had this same expectation. We got Aaron Rodgers for 1 year. But I think if you're a level-headed Steelers fan, this is what you have been clamoring for all along. Why are we doing this again? Why are we going with a mediocre quarterback for 1 year so we can go 9-8 and maybe be a wild card team at best, but get bounced in the opening round of the playoffs to be in the same scenario in quarterback carousel this time next offseason? So I don't think if you're a Steelers fan, you hear that pretty sure this is it from Aaron Rodgers, and you're like, oh yeah, man, let's be fully gung-ho. We're fully bought in. 2025, ride or die. You're probably like, yeah, we knew that, and we'll still be in the same spot, failing to develop the quarterback room for basically the last half decade.
Yeah, and again, you know, Aaron Rodgers at his best at this age potentially is what? An 11-win football team? But again, putting him up against the elite quarterbacks, forget in the NFL, Jalen Hurts, Joe Burrow, and all the players on the NFC side. Let's just talk the AFC. Is he better than Pat Mahomes? Certainly not. Is he better than Josh Allen at this point in his career? Certainly not. He's certainly not better than two-time MVP Lamar Jackson. So now, and Joe Burrow to boot. So now you have a bunch of middle-of-the-road quarterbacks. Hey, Aaron, you're with them. Good job.
And that's the story for the Steelers, to say the least. So you put the NFL to the side. Coming back tomorrow on Football Full Circle, we round out those Power Four conferences. We'll talk about the Big Two, Big Ten, and the SEC. FFC returns noon Eastern time tomorrow.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.